Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension. I am your co-host, Rachel, and I hop in here every other week to give you a little brief rundown of all the stuff we got going on in our world. I'll go ahead and get down to it so that y'all can get into the episode, which is a great one, if I do say so myself. First things first, social media. We have it. Bad at it, but we have it. If you want to reach out to us or just kind of keep tabs on what we're doing, you can check out our Instagram, Textual Tension Pod. We have a Facebook, I believe. We are not on Twitter or X or whatever it is anymore. But we do have Facebook and Instagram. We also have a website at textualattentionpod.com. And if you go to that website, you can click on a link to our Discord, which really is where you want to be if you want to hang out with us and our delightful little community that we have over there. So check all of those out. That would be super cool of you. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/textualattention. And we have all kinds of fun extra goodies there. All kinds of free stuff, all kinds of extra mini-sodes. We talk about the sex for every episode. We do live streams, all kinds of things over there. So you can check that out. You cannot search for us on Patreon, just letting you know, because we do adult content. So you do have to type that URL in directly. Hey, can I ask you a favor? If you wouldn't mind doing one of two things, maybe tell a friend about our podcast, someone that you think might enjoy it, that would be absolutely wonderful. Or swipe up on Spotify if you're listening there, or go to the comments and reviews of your favorite podcatcher that you happen to listen to us on and leave us a review. We would love to hear it. And honestly, it helps us a ton. Probably the most helpful thing that you can do for us is to help us get our name out there. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would really appreciate it. Me, personally. Your favorite co-host, Rachel. So if you could do that, that would be absolutely wonderful. I believe that's everything in terms of information to put into your ear holes. So let me go ahead and leave you with this romance novel wisdom. Today, I don't have anything particularly highbrow, very sophisticated. What I do have for you, however, is a list of classic novels that could be used as euphemisms for dicks. So, here we go. The Grapes of Wrath. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Green Eggs and Ham. Pippi Longstocking. And because I think I'm legally obligated to, Moby Dick. all right, well, there we go. Look, it's fine. Did I search through a very long list of classic novels in order to come up with those? Yes. Yes, I did. That's okay. Well, thank you all so much for being here. We absolutely love it that you're here, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 138. Big boobs equal great responsibility.
From the inside out, so I can see myself from the inside.
Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension, a love-hate relationship with romance novels. I am your co-host, Margie.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel.
Every other week, one of us reads a romance novel, or everyone, one of us reads a romance novel and summarizes it for the other unsuspecting co-host. That week, this co-host is Rachel.
It's me.
It's her. Together we unpack
what the fuck just happened.
And I don't know what just happened. I've only been doing this for over 150 episodes, but you know
it's
what?
Fine.
It's fine.
We had technical difficulties before this. It's residual. It's fine. We're coming back.
We're coming great. So there isn't really a prompt as to why I picked this book this week. It's not like there is a little bit. I was talking it over with Janelle, who also listened to the podcast, and we were talking about it, and I was like, oh wait, I actually do have to talk about this book. This is actually Bananagrams.
Margie, do you talk about romance novels with other friends, you whore?
Only with my mafia boss, and he requires it.
Oh, that's fair. Is his kink.
That's weirdly, you know, not weirdly. Everybody can enjoy their own kinks, but...
Can I find a mafia boss that his kink is me going way too deep into random science topics and talking about it? Is that a thing?
Rachel, Zach isn't actually going to like a chill job. You do realize that, right? That's why he comes home covered in blood.
Oh, I wondered about that. But, I mean, who am I to ask?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, can I open the second? Yes, the Amazon link, I'm assuming?
Yes, the Amazon link is safe.
All right. I won't open your notes. Is it the first one on the list?
Yeah, it's the first one. I'm sorry. I'm really fucking up.
The Royal Game of Chance, book two.
Don't worry, I read book one, too.
I gotta say, though, this guy's pretty hot.
He's really hot. And he's got a great, like, little smirk smile on his face.
Yeah. It's very sexy. He's giving me, maybe it's because of the title, but he's giving me Prince Harry vibes.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. He's blonde, though. He's blonde. Prince Harry is definitely a ginger. But this guy, he's sitting in a fancy chair.
Yeah, he's sitting in a fancy chair with, like, his hand kind of, like resting his chin in his hand. His fingers are kind of curled in front of his mouth. I'm doing it, and I realize no one can see me but Margie.
I can see it. I appreciate it. It looks pretty sexy on you, too.
He's looking off to the side, like not looking at the camera at all. Kind of, like, he looks a little amused by something, maybe.
I feel like he's, like, looking, maybe because I've read the book, but he's looking at his girl's ass and being like, all right.
Okay, I can see that. He's in a white button-up shirt that's mostly unbuttoned, and he's kind of leaning forward in a really fancy, fancy-looking chair. And he is very attractive. He's got that blonde hair. He's got that little bit of stubble. He's not attractive in, like, a, like, gritty kind of way. Like, you know, like a guy that's, like, kind of rough and, like, he's attractive in a very, like, suave way.
Yeah, he's, like clean cut kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's by Susan Stoker. But that's really about it. It's just a dude sitting in a chair in front of a gray background.
Yeah, there's not really anything else to tell you about. And he's got a cute little smirk on his face, and he's very, very hot.
Yes, he is hot, and he is cute. I would call him cute as
well. Yes, he is very cute, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, okay, okay. All right, here we go. Description. I'm going to read the little bold thing at the top. In this modern Cinderella story, New York Times bestselling author Susan Stoker weaves a tale of stepfamilies, stalkers, and a suspenseful, sweeping romance that proves love, true love can conquer all. Margie, the last time we had a stalker, it involved guns and things that in places we don't want. I hope this isn't like that.
Oh, no. No, nowhere near. We are haunting Adeline. Okay, all right. Is behind us.
Okay, okay. All right. Don't take me back there.
Take me back there. I'm begging you, please. Please. Please.
Former military man and member of a royal family, Callum Redman, can't deny his sense of responsibility. So when his cousin's latest love interest claims to have a stalker, Cal reluctantly meets with the young woman and her mother. He wants to write off the situation as a complete farce. If only his feelings for another member of the household could be as easily dismissed. I'm a little confused. Okay. Since her father's death 17 years ago, Juniper Rose has been at the cruel beck and call of her stepmother and stepsister. Her fantasies of escape mean leaving behind her father's beloved home, but enough is enough. When Cal offers her a way out sooner rather than later, June takes the leap. Cal's home in Maine with his military brothers seems like the safest place to start fresh, but as Cal and June's fairy tale romance blossoms into something real, they find that the dangers stalking them may have been real all along. Okay, I get it. So the evil stepsister is the stalker and he falls. Got it. Okay. I was a little confused at first.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so, kind of cute.
It is. It's, and I like this author. I've read three of her books at this point. Three of her books at this point. But this is the type of book where you don't realize how deep in the paint you are until you come gasping for air and tell your friend about it. And they're like, what?
I was going to say, because by that description, it sounds cute. And I was like, Margie, did you find a cute one?
Two things could be true.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
Yeah, so, triggers.
Ooh.
Familial abuse, family abuse, bad drug trip energy.
Energy or literal bad drug trip?
Energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you feel the bad drug trip energy? Okay. Feels so real, my bad drug energy. Family death, murder, and gun violence.
All right. A smorgasbord of triggers, if you will.
A smorgasbord. Yes. So we are going to start with characters. We have Callum Cal Redman. Cal's what he goes by. He is a royal prince of Liechtenstein, which Liechtenstein, which is a real country. Did not know that. It's in an itty bitty spot of land in between Switzerland and Austria.
Yeah, it's teeny tiny. I think it's famous for being neutral.
Cal is technically a prince, but he's about 25 people down from the throne itself. Okay. So he's a prince, but basically, the best perks of being a prince because nobody bothers him. Well, people do still bother him, but he gets the money and the prestige, but. He doesn't have to worry about actually being a royal.
Yeah, not in line for the familicide if someone else wants to be a prince.
No. So with his life, he joined the Navy SEALs, actually. His, family pulled strings so that he could be a SEAL.
Don't you have to be a U.S. citizen to be a Navy SEAL?
Listen, in this series, they pull a lot of strings.
Okay.
When it comes to that kind of stuff, which I'm sure none of it can actually happen. So
I could be wrong, but I thought that was the case.
He's pretty much free to do whatever he wants. That's what he chose to do with his life, is be a badass and be a SEAL.
Cool.
He now lives in Newton, Maine, which is a teeny tiny itty bitty small town with his other best friends, and they own a lumber business together. And they also do stuff like they guide people through trails and do some rescue missions, for people who get lost in the woods kind of thing.
Okay, hang on. So you're telling me this man is a prince, so he's royalty.
Uh-huh.
He's a Navy SEAL and he's a lumberjack. That gives us three different romance novel man tropes. And that's a lot.
Yeah, you're right. He's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders.
Damn,
all
right,
dude.
Very broad, sexy shoulders.
Juniper. All right, we're going to move on to Juniper Rose. And I don't remember what he looks like, so just imagine the guy on the cover, okay?
Okay, so hot.
Juniper Rose has lived in the same house in D.C. her whole life, and is now, she's 32 years old. Her father bought the house for actually just the two of them when she was young before he passed away. And she hasn't had the heart to leave it. You get kind of stuck in one place. She's curvy. Actually, she's described by Cal as Rubenesque, which,
okay.
He mentions it at the very beginning of the book. He's way more interested in curvy, thicker girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, because I couldn't remember for Cal, that she's brown hair and blue eyes.
As a girl with an ass, I appreciate this.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little backstory here. June's father passed away when she was in her teens, when she was about 14, leaving her, not completely leaving her orphaned, because her mom had already passed away when she was really young, like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming Batman wasn't completely out of the running for her.
Should have done it.
But unfortunately for June, she did have a stepmother and a stepsister, both of whom are complete bitches. So that set her down the Cinderella track in terms of life.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So, unfortunate. Could have been Batman. Close to Batman, not quite Batman.
I mean, you got to be rich to be a Batman. That's the problem.
That's true. That is true.
Batman's superpower is money.
Money.
And that's acceptable. I love Batman.
Well, and, the other thing is she would have had money except her stepmother when she was, June turned 18, her stepmother, entered the room and was like, hey, sweetie, I need you to sign some documents for me. It'll just take you a minute.
Oh.
And June signed away all of the life insurance money from her father, her own house, all of it.
Oh. And that's shitty as hell.
Yeah, and then she didn't have anywhere to go. Like, and because her stepmother had also been like, no, don't go to college. Stay here. Like, be with your family. Help me raise my younger. So her stepmother's name is Elaine. And Elaine's basically like, no, stay here and help me raise Carla. You know, and it's like, she's your younger sister. She needs you. Like, Carla was 8 years younger than June. So
that's. God, that's shitty. That's yeah, so it's exploitative. Really shitty. Like, damn.
So now we're going to switch back to that's June's backstory. We're now switching back to the present day. So Cal is driving from Newton, Maine, where he lives, as a favor to his cousin to DC. His cousin Carl has gone and done something real dumb and fallen in love with a girl that he's only met online through Zoom because she has big titties.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Carla, the stepsister, has convinced Cal's cousin Carl. A lot of Carl Cals here, so
Carl, yeah. Cal, okay, so, yes, all right, Carla, all right.
So Carla is the stepsister. She convinced Carl that she's being stalked.
So Carla convinced Carl to get Cal to come yes. down and help her with a stalking situation. Yes. Okay, sure. Yes.
And you get it more from the books, but Cal is a pretty big badass. Like, he was, like I said, he was a SEAL, like, with his four other buddies, and they did a lot of special ops missions. And, like, one of them was in the Middle East where they almost died after being kidnapped and were held as POWs.
Damn, okay. Yeah,
and they were rescued. But Cal was the one. I guess I should have put torture as a trigger. Whoops.
Ooh.
But whoops. Whoops. But Cal was the one. So they were tortured, you know, kept in prison for, I think it was weeks or months. Mm-hmm. And because Cal was a prince, he got the worst treatment. Because they were like, ooh, we get to destroy this prince, basically. But so Cal is a badass. They survived this. But he's certainly not a private investigator.
No.
But unfortunately for Cal, he's still a big old softy. So when he hears that a woman might be in trouble from a stalker, he's like, all right. And that his family is asking him to go look into it. He's like, all right, I guess I'll go check it out.
Guess I'll do it. I'm getting caught up on something that doesn't matter, as I am wont to do. We'll just move on.
No, I want to hear it.
If you know he's a prince and also he's a Navy SEAL, if you've kidnapped and tortured him, you're going to have two countries coming after you. And yeah, Liechtenstein is very small, but it's still a whole ass country.
Honestly, that's a very, very good point, but number one, they get him out. Like, they do.
Yeah.
The army, military, whatever, do end up getting him and his friends out. It's a Middle Eastern crisis. So, like, you know, remember how the Middle Eastern war went? Because I know so much about it. Of, like, it wasn't like they were going up against another army. It was, like, small cells where they didn't know where these people really were, I feel like. So,
that's
like,
fair.
Of course you could have, like, that was part of the problems with that big, with the war, is that, of course, you could have a big army, like, the tools to your disposal. But if you don't know what to do with it or where the enemy is, it's really worthless. Yeah. So,
that's fair.
Anyway, so, and here's the thing. Cal is driving there also, and he's, like, already convinced that this is not real. Like, he's, like, he thinks that these women are lying. Like, he doesn't, he's, like, I doubt. Because he's had that a lot happen in the past where people have manipulated him because he's a prince, and they're, like, oh, I want to be a princess! So, not gonna say that is what's happening. Okay, yes, I am. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So he arrives, and Carla is the stepsister, and of course she comes out, like, titty swinging.
Do your boobs hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? Can you tie them in a bow?
And so Carla and Elaine... they really start to try to, like, butter him up immediately, but he's very much like, okay, when did you notice a stalker? Like, what have they done? Like, what?
Also,
what
I'm not even the guy
for you.
I'm not even the guy who's you were trying to seduce online with your tits. Like,
I don't think that Carla actually wants that guy. I think that she's looking for Cal. She's like very determined that she wants to be a princess and she wants Cal. I don't know how she knew that Carl and Cal were connected or related or whatever, or knew that she, I don't know. But, so now Cal's like, okay, I know that they're probably faking it, but now I just need to prove that they're faking it. Because for another thing, she hasn't reported anything to the police. She also doesn't have any cameras on her house, which Cal's like, why wouldn't you put cameras on your house if you think you're being stalked? Like, why would she gather evidence?
Stalking is notoriously difficult to get help for, which I totally understand, because it's a hard thing to like prove and demonstrate and show. But if you are being stalked, generally you take a few steps to stalked anymore.
You take precautions, you know, or anything. And she's really, and he's like, okay, I'm just going to prove that nothing is happening and then I can go home. But he is like pleasantly surprised to learn that there's someone else living in this house. And that is June. And June, he's like immediately like, damn, she's hot. Like,
hell
he's
yeah.
And he thinks that she's also like really cute and sweet. And he like also notices from the get-go how terribly she's treated by, and he doesn't even know that like June, like this is June's house. He doesn't know that. Like he, like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, he doesn't realize that Carla, Elaine, and June are all related. They literally, so they sit down to dinner, Cal, Carla, and Elaine, and June is cooking the dinner, and she drops something on the floor and like has to clean it up. And like Elaine, the stepmother, is like, oh, you just can't hire good help anymore. And it's like, you didn't hire her.
No,
she's just doing this out of the way too goodness of her heart. Like, she's just
also
sticking around.
Anyone that legitimately says you can't hire good help anymore, seriously, can just get in the bin, get in the dumpster, go away. You're not worth it. If you joke, sure. If you're serious, dude.
Right, nah, get out of here. So, and he's like, he's not embarrassed by the, I felt like genuinely when I was reading it, like embarrassed by the behavior. But also, and her stepsister calls her a fat cow. Cal is in the room. I'm like, how do you think that this is going to go over with Cal? You think you're going to be able to like win him over by calling some other woman a fat cow?
Okay, sure, Jan.
What is wrong with you? So, but June handles this all with way more grace than I would ever had, because she just is kind of like, nah, like
whatever.
Another normal day for her after she's cooked this entire beautiful dinner, like 4-course meal. But she does do one thing that Cal's like, wow. She's like serving him something, and she drops headache medicine into his lap because she notices that like he's like been like pinching his eyes and like rubbing his temples and like,
aww.
Yeah, so it's really sweet. And he's like, I like her. So
this one's mine. I like her.
I like her. And then so later on that evening, finally June is getting a break from Cinderella duties, and she's actually outside in her backyard on her old swing. And it's, I think it's a pretty big property, because she didn't notice before, but Cal had kind of done a surveillance of the property, and she's sitting on the swing, you know, just kind of like thinking, like, it's a little chilly outside, but it's probably nice to be out of the house. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's weird. It looks like he's coming towards me. And he is coming towards her.
He is coming towards me.
Yeah. And so he comes right over to her and starts asking what seemed to be casual questions. Like, and one of them is like, hey, shouldn't you be home by now? And she's like, I am home. This is my home. I live here.
I live here.
I live here.
Welcome to hell.
Now you're in my boat. And he's like, hold on. Holy shit. And so she tells her whole tale of woe, mom, dad, died, dad, evil stepfamily, etc. And she's kind of like, and I would understand this, like, she's kind of embarrassed because she's like, I've stuck around when I really should have left.
Yeah.
Like, but she explains, like, my dad loved this house. My dad bought this house literally for me when I was a really young child. So we would have like space to run, where I would have space to run, play, etc. So it's really been hard, you know, it's been hard for her to leave. Yeah. Also, she's had no money. Like,
and abuse, like, is real.
Yeah. Abuse is real, right. And she's never been paid, but she's like, I finally, like, gathered up a little savings. I'm gonna get out of here. Like, and she's like, I don't know where I'm gonna go, but I'm getting out of here.
But I've I'm gonna it. Go.
Like, and so then they kind of have a little funny conversation about the quote unquote stalker that Carla has. And at first she's kind of like, well, maybe she has a stalker, I don't know. And he's like, okay, don't bullshit me. Does she have a stalker? And he's like, and she's like, no, Carla doesn't have a stalker.
Like, no, Carla's the crazy one.
Well, and so she, and that's pretty much what she says, because she's like, listen, Carla made me put a tiny towel in your bathroom so that she would accidentally, quote unquote, barge in on you while you were showering. She also, Carla also had, yeah, Carla also had me put my perfume, Carla's perfume, on your bed so that you would, like, subliminally want to sleep with her, I guess.
Carla?
Carla. Hey,
Carla, maybe you should chill. Chill there, girl, just a little bit. Just calm your giant titties, swinging titties.
Which were bought and paid for. Which, like, if you want to get titty surgery, that's fine. But don't do it to seduce princes.
Look,
do it because you want to feel good about yourself.
If you don't have your own, if you don't have titties at home,
store-bought is fine.
But you have to use them.
Or if you have too much titty, you can donate them to a titty store.
But, like, you have to use your titties responsibly.
Yeah.
With great titties comes great responsibility.
Right. Use your titties for good, not evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because he's like, you know what? He actually pushes her on the swing, which is very cute.
Aww.
And I love the, like, I think it's the 2015 Cinderella film, like, that Disney
did.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
I love that movie. It's great. I think the costumes are great. But I was thinking about that movie, and I was like, they actually do that. I wonder if she's referencing the movie. Like, and spoiler alert, she is, because they do that in that movie. It's very cute.
Okay, all right.
So he's like, you know what? It's pretty cold outside. I should get you back and bring you back inside. And he's like, where do you even sleep in the house? Like, because I'm sleeping in the guest bedroom. Where do you sleep? And she's like, I sleep in the basement on a pullout couch.
I was expecting the attic. So
that's what he says. That's what he says. He's like, if you tell me you sleep in the attic, I'm gonna be pissed. And she's like, no, I sleep in the basement. And he's like, and then he growls. And she's like, I didn't understand the whole growling thing until I heard it.
Look, we all get it.
Right. So then Cal, out of nowhere, is like, hey, do you like winter? And she's like, I mean, winter is fine, I guess. Like, the season? Yeah, winter's fine. Why do you ask? And so he kind of rambles on. He's like, I've got some four amazing friends, and one of them's getting married, and, like, we live in this tiny town where I'm a lumberjack, and it's all great and good.
Will you come live with me, please?
Well, she's like, that's great for you, I guess. And he's like, you should consider it. Consider what? Coming back with me. And she's like,
Cal just goes to this whole other place and is like, I'm going to adopt this one. Get in the car.
Adopt the stray woman he found.
Can I keep her? I promise. I'll feed her. I'll take care of her. I'll let her outside.
I'll take her for long walks in the winter.
And she can sleep in my bed.
Hell yeah, she can. So then he kisses her on both cheeks as they walk in, saying, it's an English thing, yes and no. Because he was raised in London. Uh-huh. Yeah, saying it's an English, which I knew people when I lived in England, in the UK, where they kissed me on both cheeks. It's not that common, though. So
yeah.
I can just try to, you know.
Uh-huh.
So after 2 days in the home, Cal is convinced there's no stalker. Like, mm-hmm. the woman just crocked up a bunch of bullshit. Yeah. So that he would get to get him into their house so that he would marry Carla. Like, that is literally these women's plan. He set up cameras all over the house so they could watch for a quote-unquote stalker. Mm-hmm. And he went to the local police to tell them about the women's concerns. You know, not the women themselves who are experiencing the stalking. No.
I am mildly concerned at his approach. Granted, you're right. He's not a detective or anything like that. But, like, one, why would you stay in the house? Two, why would you stay in the house? Because if there's a stalker, if there really is one, they're probably not going to come around when there's a whole-ass other dude in the house, you would think.
I mean, but, like, I think he's thinking, I want to catch the quote-unquote stalker in the act. Like, I want to be there when something happens. So...
Yeah, okay.
All yeah, right. Yeah, I know, I know.
Umbridge.
Yes, but here's the good news. After 2 days, Jude has agreed to come back with Cal.
That escalated quickly. Hell yeah.
So he's actually on his... So he's in the house. He's walking towards June, who's in the kitchen. And he's on the way to tell June, like, look, we're leaving tomorrow. There's nothing going on here. I'm tired of being here. All right, pack up. Let's go. But he overhears Carla and Elaine talking. And, you know, he stops to listen. Basically, they don't know that he's there. But they pretty much admit, like, are talking to each other and say, like, oh, it's fake. He suspects something. He suspects mm-hmm. that we're faking it. And they're upset because Cal isn't falling for Carla's tricks. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
huge titties mm-hmm. and perfume in the bed, that kind of thing. And then they say some pretty, like, honestly. Disgusting things.
Oh.
So the thing about Cal... is when he was tortured, you know, as a POW, you know, like literally being a fucking hero.
Yeah.
It left him with some pretty disfiguring scars on his body.
Yeah.
Which he does a lot of work to cover up because he's very, like, embarrassed and doesn't want people to say anything. Makes sense. But they insinuate some pretty disgusting things about his genitalia.
Oh. Like, yeah, no.
It's just so slimy and gross.
No. Yeah, this gentleman seems like a cinnamon roll at this point. Right. And I
such
do
a
not.
Softy. No,
I stand
it's disgusting.
Him.
Right. So he's outraged and disgusted. And he ends up, like, he goes and meets June in the kitchen who's cooking. And he's like, we're leaving today. I've had it. Can we please, like, get your stuff and we can go? And, they do, like, that afternoon. They wait until Carla and Elaine take a nap. Because apparently the two women take an afternoon nap every day. And then they...
goals.
Yeah. Well, not... But they're evil. It's an evil nap.
Yeah. It's an evil nap. You're right.
You have to use your naps for good, not evil.
Again, yes. Right. Yes.
Right. Right. With
big
great
naps equal big responsibility.
Right. Responsibility. Right. What are you going to use that newfound energy for?
Evil. Right. Wait. No.
Evil. So they hit the road back to Newton, and it's probably, like, I want to say it's like an 8 or 9 hour drive, which could be done in one day.
Yeah.
But what's the fun in that?
Only one bed trope is so much more fun than actually driving all the entire way in one day. Am I right, Margie?
Rachel, they go to an inn and there's only one bed!
You know, if you're at a hotel and all they have is a king-size bed, they usually have cots available if you talk to the front desk.
Oh, you know, that would make way too much sense.
Also, sorry.
I do feel like if they brought in... So they get to the room. They talk about it a little bit, Cal and June, and they're like, well, we could go to another hotel, but, like, Cal's really tired from driving. He doesn't do well sitting still for that long. It's just really uncomfortable mm-hmm. for him. And June's like, I could drive, but I'm really not comfortable driving your $300,000 car.
Yeah.
And so they're both like, so they have a fight in the room where June's like, it's fine. I'll just sleep on the floor. I've done it before. It's not a big deal. And he's like, you are not sleeping on the floor.
You get your ass in that bed.
And so then she's like, well, your royal ass can't sleep on the floor. Like, and so then she finally decides, she's like, you know what? Fine. We'll sleep in the bed together. Whatever. And he's like, did she really just say that?
I get it. I get the trope. But my like not fully understanding social convention ass brain would be like, all right, who cares?
Yeah, just right.
Sleep in the bed together.
Right. You know, but when there's already a ton of sexual chemistry.
Yeah, that's fair. I could see that.
Well, of course. So she falls asleep like pretty early. She falls asleep before him, and he's like, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to move to the floor. Like, be a gentleman about it. But then she starts to have a nightmare. So then he cuddles her.
As it must happen, as is the law.
As is law. And yes. But they wake up the next morning and they're still cuddled together, and there's no of that like jumping apart like, oh, sorry. Like, they're like, you good? Yeah, you good? Okay, I'm gonna go back to sleep for a little while. And they're like really snuggled up with each other. So it's very
cute. Okay, that's adorable, actually. Yes,
it's really cute. So they hit the road again the next day. Cal drives June to an apartment that one of his friends/employees has procured for June.
And wow, they get
there. Yeah. And they get there and they pull up, and June's like, well, you know, it'll probably be fine. Like, it's not good. It's like a basement apartment in a pretty seedy building in a not great area that's very remote. Like, remember, it's a really small town.
Yeah.
And so he's parked his car, and Cal just goes, nope, and puts it in reverse and starts driving away from the property. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, you're going to stay with me. I'm not staying there. I have plenty of room.
In any other context but a romance novel, that serial killery is hell.
But
in this one instance.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
I just love that. They sit there for a second and she's like, you know, it's probably fine on the inside. Like, it has like a hot plate and stuff so I can cook. And he's just like, nope.
No. Not happening.
No, you're not staying here.
I'm adopting you. You're coming with me. I promise I won't murder you.
Right. Well, and so he brings her back to his place. He has a guest bedroom, so that's where she'll be sleeping. Maybe.
Do we take bets on how many times she sleeps in that guest bed?
Well, actually, I would lose count, because she does spend a pretty good amount of time in that guest bed.
Okay.
But also, meanwhile... Yeah, we're back to Carla and Elaine, who are pissed because they've lost their prince. But not only that, their prince has gone off with their hired help, quote unquote hired help.
Damn. This is what happens when you don't use your titties responsibly. Bad things happened. It's titty karma.
Well, so they're talking. Well, it's a conversation between the two of them that we see. And it's these two women. Like, I think all of Carla's brains went to her boobs. I think that's what the transfer is happening. You know,
Kim Kardashian. That do be how it works.
There's a rumor that they pulled from Kim Kardashian's tummy to fill up her butt. So I think that they just took from Carla's brain to fill up her boobs. Yeah.
I got pretty big titties, and that is about right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, what comes out of this conversation is that they want to get revenge on June in particular for stealing the prince.
Okay. All right.
And so Elaine's like, don't worry, darling. I have a plan. And Carla's like, ooh, is it going to be like when you, you know, killed that girl's dad? Because you definitely killed June's dad.
Whoa! I was just going to tell Carla to get a hobby, but what the fuck, dude? That came out of nowhere.
Well, so what ends up happening at the end of this conversation is that Elaine is like, don't worry, darling. I'm going to make June suffer.
I'm going to murder her like I killed that guy.
Well.
Okay. Jesus Christ. I was going to tell her again. I was going to tell her to get a hobby, but obviously she has one and it's murder.
It's murder.
Great.
So June. So now we move back to June and Cal. June is introduced to all of Cal's friends, who he has his four other badass friends, which I'm going to try to go through them all because they've unfortunately they have multiple names, sort of. Or there might only be three. Yeah, there's only
so
three.
There's Carl, there's Carlo, there's Carlos, and there's Carlum. I don't know.
No. So in the four guy group, it's Cal, Chappie, JJ, and Bob Evans.
I do not know them, and I would die for all of them, especially Bob Evans.
Genuinely. So the first book I actually read was Bob Evans' book, and it was really good. So his last name is Evans, and because they were four dumbasses in the military, they just started calling him Bob for Bob Evans. But his name is actually Kendrick Evans, which is also like a Bob very Evans. Sexy name.
Yes, Kendrick Evans, yeah. Great. Bob Evans, great. Fucking hilarious.
So they call him Bob Evans, like, or they call him Bob. So incredible. That's the four of them. And then Carlise and Bob Evans. So Bob Evans has a fiance. Her name is Carlise, not Carlisle.
All right. So we have Carla, we have Carl, we have Cal, and we have Carlise.
Carl, that kills people, Carl. And then we have Carl the llama. Just outside the window.
I've got a craving that only apparently four fucking Carls can satisfy. Jesus Christ.
Four fucking Carls can satisfy. Okay. And then there's Carlise, and Carlise is engaged to Bob Evans. And then there's April, who is an employee at the lumberjack company. Like, she's the secretary. But obviously April and JJ are like there are zings and zangs going across the room between one of the other lumberjack dudes and April. So
okay, so there's a love triangle.
No, so JJ and April.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of names at once. It's fine.
Right, a lot of names. Sorry, I know. But unfortunately, like, most of those names are a little bit important. Actually, April's the one who got June's apartment for her. And Cal was like, what the fuck? That place is a dump. And she's like, yeah, but it was the only place that didn't want a background check in town.
That's
so
fair.
So I don't know
and
what
also,
you want me to do. And on also on super short notice.
Yeah, I was going to say, you gave me less than 24 hours. What do you expect?
Right. So, and it's great that Cal introduces her to all of her friends because almost immediately one of those friends like has a job for June.
Oh, nice.
She's like, I know this person in town who owns a senior living facility. Aww. And gets her a job there because June does love taking care of people. Like, that's just what she's good
just
at
in
and
a so, healthy environment
in a healthy environment right and but June continues to live with Cal at his place where the sexual tension is insane. But she keeps sleeping in the guest room until June has a bachelorette. Carlise has a bachelorette party.
Girl Carl.
And here's the thing, which is very confusing, is that Carlise kept wanting to be, like, my computer kept wanting to replace Carlise with Carlisle.
Nope, it's Carlisle now.
It's Carlisle.
Vampire Daddy Doctor. Hell yeah.
Vampire Daddy Doctor just randomly in this town. so Carlise Carlisle is having a bachelorette party. And with April and June. And so they all get a little bit drunk, and Cal comes to pick up June at the end of the party. Uh-huh. And he helps her, like, get up the stairs, and he's going to take her to the guest bedroom. But he finds a convenient excuse to bring her to his bedroom because he's like, I don't want you to choke on your own vomit if you throw up.
That's not sexy, though.
No, it's not. It's not. And I will say, so he's like, I don't remember why, but he gives her some clothes of his clothes to wear for the night. And then he steps out of the room, and then he comes back into the room, and she's only in his t-shirt, but her pants are on the floor. So he's like, she's not wearing pants. Well, I'm still gonna get in that bed. So,
well, okay, dude.
Yeah. Well, so nothing does happen, but the next morning they both like admit to each other I really want to have sex. Like, they're...
Good on you for being adults.
Yes. And they actually, but they decide they're like, not right now though, because like, he sees on her face, he's like, okay, but I can see that you want to do this, but there's also something telling you not to. And she's like, it's just, I haven't brushed my teeth. Like, I feel a little grungy after having drunk too much last night. I'm not...
Not at my best.
Right. So now the sexual tension is even crazier. And I actually think it's after. So I think they go to, actually, Carlise and Bob Evans get married like very soon after that, like within a couple of days after that bachelorette party. And it's a very small, intimate ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
But they get back from that and they're like, yeah, we're going to have sex tonight, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah. And they do. And it's great.
Hell yeah.
And they're completely like transparent with one another, like, hey, I haven't done this before. Hey, I'm a little self-conscious of my body because of this reason or that reason. And they make it work and it's great.
Babies.
So meanwhile, do the meanwhile sound again.
No, 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 no.
We go back to Carla and Elaine. Carla, actually, we're just going back to Elaine at this point.
Okay. Elaine, the murder one.
The murder mother, right.
The murder mother.
Murder mother. The murder mother has called a guy named Tim. And Tim has been given a job by Elaine.
Some call me Tim.
Tim. Tim has been given a job by Elaine, which is to go to Newton, Maine and make June's life hell. Basically, she's like... So I stalker. Want you to start stalking her. Right. So Tim does. He goes to Newton, Maine, and he's told by Elaine that if you do certain things, like say, like leave a letter on her, like a threatening letter at her door, if you leave a dead animal on her porch, like those kind of things, like I will pay you more for everything that you do.
Oh, it's so nice of you to meet me. What do you do with your life? Oh, I professionally stalk people. Right. I do it on commission.
Here's the thing, though, is that he's like, yeah, I'll fucking do that, whatever. So he moves to Newton, Maine, and he, like...
Uh-oh. Does this unlock something in him?
No. Oh. No. So he goes to Newton, Maine, he actually moves into the basement apartment that I think June was originally supposed to. Awesome. But, like, whenever Elaine asks for something, like, say, like, that letter taped to the door, he just tapes it to his own, like, a letter to his own door, then takes a picture of it, and then she Venmos him money. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to fucking do the work.
Fucking brilliant. Work smarter, not harder, honestly.
Right. So he continues to do this. Like, he takes a photo of an animal on like the side of the road or something and sends it to Elaine. And like, that's good enough for her. And like, she keeps sending him money.
How did she get away with murder? She's an idiot.
No. Okay. She's so dumb. Okay. So we go back to Cal and June. And like I said, they had sex and great. But now Cal is pulling away.
Uh-oh.
Cal is being very quiet in the house. Cal isn't really talking to June, which we hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in June's mind, she's like, okay, I see the writing on the wall. Like, she says to herself, she's like, I know when I'm not wanted. Like, I've lived in a house for, like, so many years where I was not wanted. You have to understand her perspective. He's pulling away after sex. Like, he's, you know,
abuse
he's doing
is real, but at the same time, just talk to each other.
Well, okay. So she gets actually, so Cal ends up taking like a 2-day expedition into the Appalachians. He has like something he needs to do up there because that's part of their job. But he takes like, he volunteers for this job. So, but he has Bob Evans pick June up for work every day. And June talks to Bob Evans and she's like, hey, is Cal okay? Like, is everything good? And Bob's like, yeah, he seems fine. Like, what's going on? And she's like, nothing. Everything's fine. And so eventually what transpires is that, like, June's like transparent with Bob. Like, look, we had sex. Like, I thought it went really, really well. I thought everything was great between us, but like Cal has pulled away recently. It seems like he he's uncomfortable with having me in the house now. Mm-hmm. So if you could help me find like an apartment or something nearby, that would be great. And Bob is like, Bob is pulled in front of her work at this point, and he's like, no, look, I've never seen Cal as happy as he is, as he's been with you. Like, I'm his best friend.
Okay.
I know when he's happy, and he's happy with you. So just do me a favor and just talk to him. Just talk.
Okay. That's a good friend.
Yes. And she's like, you know, I'll think about it. So she thinks about it over the course of the day. And Bob actually comes back to pick her up in the afternoon after work. How's work? It was great. Hey, what do you have in your hands? And she's like, well, it's brownies. My coworker, Tim, made these for me because we're both new employees.
This is going to go one of two ways. And I hope it goes one way, but I have a feeling it's gonna go another way.
I wanna hear your theories after you hear what happens. Cause I wanna, well, actually I want you to tell me if what happens is one
okay.
of your theories.
Okay, all right, all right.
So she's like, yeah, you know, like, and this is something I've never heard of before, but maybe it's true. She said, because I'm big, because I'm heavier, people always assume that like food is something that I want. And so, but she's like, I had a really bad experience when I was young. My stepsister Carla put synthetic pot in my brownies that she made me. And she had a horrible trip. Like horrible. No. She thought she was gonna die. And then Carla took a video of it and posted it on social media.
Oh.
So she's like, I don't eat things that I don't see people cook themselves. Like I will not.
Yeah.
I promised after that day, unless it's in a restaurant. Like Bob's like, have you told Cal about this? No, why? Don't tell him. He'll probably drive to DC and we'll have to bail him out of jail.
Uh-oh.
So she gets home. Cal is not there yet, but she's like, but Bob is like, please just talk to him. Like, don't just leave without a word. Talk to him first. And she's
good
like,
friend.
Okay, I promise I will talk to him. So she gets home. And she hears like rooting around in the yard. She goes out into the yard. There's a bear. And she's like, oh God, a bear. Oh God, oh God, oh God. But then Cal pulls up into the driveway.
Uh-oh.
And so she's like, shit. And so she runs out of the house and like grabs Cal as he's coming out of the car. And is like, quiet, quiet, quiet. And pulls him into the house. And he's like, what? What's wrong? What's going on? She's like, shh. So they get into the house. And he's like, what's the big deal? Hi, Carlos.
And another Carl.
Like, what? Another Carl. And then Cal is like, what's wrong? What's the big deal? And she was like, there's a bear outside. And he kind of like, remember, he's basically a wilderness explorer.
Yeah.
He's like, bears. He's like, okay, that's kind of cute and funny. Like that bear was. He literally opens the porch door, looks outside, closes the door. It's like, that's a teenage bear rooting through the trash. It's not, no interest in us. And he's like, it's really cute though, because Cal says, why did you go outside if you thought the bear was dangerous? And she's like, because you were outside. I didn't want you to get hurt.
Aww, babies.
And she's like, I care so much about you. And then there goes the guarded look again. He closes up. Closes off and he's like, I gotta take a shower. So he goes and takes a shower, and then actually he talks to Bob Evans on the phone, and Bob's like, hey, did she like tell you about the brownies? What brownies? Well, apparently this happened where her stepsister made it and yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, like, he hangs up the phone, and Cal like is like, I have been such a fucking idiot. And so, because he knows that he's drawn away from June, that he's been trying to pull away. And he had managed to convince himself that it was for her own good. That he was like, I want her. She's been locked in that house like her whole life. And I don't want to limit her from, you know, going out there and like doing whatever she wants to do. Because like.
I don't follow his logic, but I'm just going to go along with it and say, sure, dude.
Yeah, so he runs downstairs, and she's still there, and they do talk, and it's really good.
Okay.
Where he's like, I just didn't feel like I was good enough for you. And she's like, literally, you took a stranger out of another stranger's home fed and watered them, like made sure they got a job, took them for walks, took care of her. Like, how, like, the only person I want to be with is you. Like, I love the heckity heck out of you. And then they have sex again.
Hell yeah.
And it's, so they, you know, but it's good. Like, they talk it all out. Yeah. They're like, look, she's like, I'm happy being here in Newton. I love being here with you. I love my job. I love the people here. Like, why? Do you want me to leave? No. Well, then I'm good.
Yeah, I'm happy, my guy.
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm happy. Like, you've really become a Prince Charming for me, dude. Like,
uh-huh.
So.
The brownies?
No. She threw away the brownies.
Oh, okay.
Remember, she doesn't eat anything that wasn't, she didn't see prepared.
Yeah, but did the, I assume she might, like, hand it off to the other guys in the house. Did the
bear eat the brownies? No, she just threw them in the trash. Honestly, I was worried about the bear.
I was going to say.
She threw, yeah. Cocaine bear!
Cocaine bear, oh God. So wait, was that all that happened with the brownies? Because that was not
what
any...
Yeah, she just threw them away.
That was not any of my ideas.
No. Oh, well, good. Okay, so next day at work, everything is fine. You know, normal day for June. She actually gets a text from Cal of like, you're so beautiful. I love you so much. Like,
cute.
I'm so happy that you're here with me. Yada, yada, yada.
Tim.
And then Tim walks into the room at work where she works at a senior living facility, remember, walks into the room where June is, where she's just doing her fucking job, and shoots her twice.
What? Maybe what I thought was going to happen with the brownies was the intention. They were poisoned, weren't they?
Well, they were. They were laced with synthetic marijuana again, too. Like, he gave her pot brownies.
Yeah.
But now he just
that escalated. I liked Tim. Tim was cool. This is too far, Tim. Hey, Tim. Hey, Tim.
Tim, do you want to guess how much money Tim was paid by Elaine to murder June?
Probably not enough.
$10,000.
Hey, Tim, you're worth more than that. Know your worth. Ask for more money.
So June is shot twice.
We don't do background checks for people who work at senior living facilities either, I guess.
I just like that. It just escalates so fast. Because remember, before this point, he's been faking.
Yeah,
he hasn't even been doing it for real. He hasn't done anything to June for real. And that the reason for that later is because, I didn't want her to suspect that somebody was stalking her because that would put her guard up, right? Like, but like at the same time, bro dog, you shot her at work in front of witnesses. Like, it wasn't like you were trying to hide it.
Honestly, you could have just, well, no, you couldn't have put poison in the brownies. That would have brought it back to you.
He didn't
what
care.
You say?
Hey.
That oh my is- God.
Because yeah. Well, of course it did. Ooh, what you say?
That's it. Well, that's this whole situation.
So there's another guy in the senior living facility. Who he actually used to be a boxer. And so he beats the shit out of Tim so that Tim goes down.
Good. Just
shit. There you are. Okay.
Out of nowhere, shooting a dude. Yeah, all right. Or shooting a lady. Okay.
So, unfortunately, also, though, Cal had actually picked up lunch for her in June and was entering the facility.
Uh-oh.
With lunch. So he comes in. June is on the ground bleeding to death.
Jesus so Christ.
So he pulls off his own shirt, like uses it to staunch the blood, and he's like, do not go towards the light. You see that light, you turn the fuck back around. Aww. You come back to me. And so we're gonna montage the end of the book here.
Okay. I mean, they are in a senior living facility, so we're assuming there's some sort of medical people there, which is good, I guess.
They actually, it's more of like, that was something I never really understood from the book. I don't remember if it's just a senior living facility or if it's just like a senior club or something. But then okay. I'm like, but why does June need to be there? I never really, whatever. So yeah. So the paramedics end up, do come. They airlift her to a hospital. And after like, so they get to the hospital. Cal is calling his parents and being like, whatever the fuck you have to do in Liechtenstein. I don't remember how to pronounce it.
Liechtenstein.
Like, yeah. Oh. To like make sure this guy goes away forever. You do that. And his parents are actually really sweet because Cal in his mind is saying to himself, I didn't cry when I got out of like being a prisoner of war. I didn't mm-hmm. cry when I saw all my scars, when I got out of like the hospital bed. I never like did not cry. And now he is like bawling. Aww. Like he cannot keep, he's just like cinnamon tears are streaming roll. Down his face. He cannot stop crying. And his mom is actually has never met June, but knows that he loves June. And he's mm-hmm. like, she's like, we're already on our way there. Like we are getting on a jet right now. We're coming to meet you. Babies. So it's really sweet. Yeah. So eventually surgery ends for June. She dies twice on the table, but they're able to resuscitate her.
Jesus!
Yeah. Yeah, so the doctor is like, she's a fighter, but she came back. And then, so here's a bizarre thing that happens that I personally did not like.
Bizarre? This is where it gets bizarre?
Well, I guess the writing is what gets bizarre, because the next time the next chapter starts, and it's June, like, getting into the car, having finished in, like, gotting out of surgery. That's like weird. Yeah, so there's no like I need a wake-up scene where it's like oh my god, I didn't think you were gonna make it. Oh my
the
god,
emotional
you're okay. Like
reunion,
you, emotional reunion, not really. And also, so once she wakes up and is aware, cognizant, whatever, Cal is actually like, all right, like ask her to marry him. She says yes. And he immediately gets a minister into her hospital room. It's like, we're getting married right fucking now.
We're
doing it right now.
I get it. Scary. That's a
affirmation of life wedding.
Yeah, that's a big jump for a life affirming moment from zero right. to married after like 24 hours of loving someone. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, Cinderella, true love and all that.
I, you know what? Cinderella fell in love with a dude that she danced with like three times. So, you know what?
So,
you do you.
You know, whatever.
Listeners, if you can hear something in the background, I apologize. It is hailing sideways.
Oh.
Yeah.
Neat. Yeah. The weather's been brutal today.
Yup.
Yup. So, so then... They get married in the hospital. The next scene is her getting into a car on their way back to drive back to Newton.
Yeah, that was
June and Cal.
That's a jump. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't love that. Yeah. I would have liked to have like the emotional reunion scene, like sure. you said. I would have liked to hear about the wedding because that sounds kind of cute.
Yeah.
Like, but we didn't have either of those scenes. The next scene that we really have is they get back in Newton. They go to their favorite restaurant there, and there's a big surprise party waiting for. Aww.
Cute
June, because she survived, where she gets to see everyone again. Hey, but
she probably still shouldn't be walking around that much, huh?
I mean, love. Okay. Guess all love right. is powerful, you know.
She died twice.
Love is more powerful than titty power.
No,
than evil titty energy.
You. Don't tell me
evil,
that.
Evil titty energy.
Hey, are you evil? Listeners, I lifted up my tits and asked them if they were evil.
What did they say?
Jury's still out.
Okay. Listeners, are Rachel's titties good or evil?
Oh, I want to know.
You tell us.
Tell me. Please do.
And then there is like a, they do talk about Tim and Elaine. Tim, obviously in jail, not going to come out.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. But he started singing like a canary about Elaine. Uh-huh. So Elaine is also in jail. But also apparently Elaine told Tim that, you know, she'd already murdered a man. So so girl. Now like now June knows, too, that like her stepmom killed her dad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Carla is still free. So but, she, you know, and she's living her life being a cam girl. So like
You know, she's in this case, she's using her titties for good.
I don't know. It sounds like she's pretty good at like conning people. So
maybe not. Never mind.
Yeah, we can't assume.
Yeah,
we can't
you're right. Assume. It could go either way.
She did when June died twice on the table. She met her parents in heaven.
Okay.
So
good for
her. Yeah, good for her. Who told her no? You have to go back. You have to go back. Your children are going to do amazing things, sweetie. Not you, but your children.
Okay. Well, that got weird.
So the end scene of the book is actually them having sex. So
that I just
got okay, it's moving over into review territory.
That got a lot weirder the longer it went.
Get the rant, like the out of nowhere shooting.
Look,
where he was faking it the entire time, and then
secret evil genius. I have listened to enough true crime to know that that style of escalation is not common.
Yeah. Especially, well, and he does say, again, he says that he doesn't do all, like, the preamble stuff of, like, dead animal letter, whatever, other stalkery things, because he doesn't want her to, like, have her guard up.
But
like, have you ever murdered someone before?
Also, that, like, implies that he knew that murder was going to be the outcome and the end anyway. And if that's right. The case, why not just murder her? I guess right. He got more money out of Elaine.
He got more money. That was the answer. That's the answer to that question. He got more money out of Elaine.
Also, so, Elaine was an idiot. I'm going to murder her just like I murdered her father. Let me announce this publicly. Okay, well.
Yeah, and then it's like the... And she's texting this guy. She's texting this guy. There are texts.
Look.
Receipts, my girl.
Not everyone is into true crime, I guess. Venmo.
I don't think.
Keeps
I think
a
that she
history.
Doesn't know, I don't think that she knows that, like, murder is illegal. Like,
this is one of those times where, like, she definitely just put murder in the description on Venmo. That's definitely like what she just put
like
down.
A knife emoji and the girl going like Xing or something.
And then a skull.
And then the skull. The
listeners,
Venmo description.
I would love to know what emojis you would send to someone on Venmo if you were paying them for murder. Please tell us in the Discord. I would like to know. Preferably with no context. Just
God, there's gotta be a murder out there where someone paid for it on Venmo. There's gotta be.
I listen to a podcast called A Date with Dateline where they just review Dateline mm-hmm. episodes. It's adorable. Mm-hmm. And they have an ongoing spreadsheet that they actively update with how much it costs to hire a hitman in different states. And it's like, this one's $10,000. This one's like a boob job. This one's, it's hilarious.
Well, again, it's like, but that's a good point. It's 10, not that you should ever murder anyone for any amount of money.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We know this. Moving right. on. $10,000 is way too low.
Tim, know your
way
worth.
Way too low. $10,000 is one night in Vegas for murdering someone.
For murdering a guy. Know your worth.
For literally murdering a guy.
Oh,
a
my
gal.
God.
And then in front of witnesses, he shoots her in her workplace.
You're telling me.
In front of her friends.
He was smart enough to not get her guard up, but not smart enough to do it not in public.
Right.
Okay, Tim.
Right.
All right, Tim.
It just...
All right, let's...
It doesn't make any sense. So no. It's going to pick away from the plot, honestly. So rating of characters.
Yeah.
Cal, out of 5.
He's a cinnamon boy.
He's such a cinnamon roll.
Major golden retriever energy.
I mean, he doesn't really have anything to detract from him, so I want to give him a 5. I love him.
I mean, if you love him, go for it. These are our opinions.
I'm in love with him. June, I think the only thing I don't, and this is a personal grievance, so I'm going to add it, but I have trouble understanding why. No, I don't want to say it that way. June staying at with her step siblings for so long. Like, so long.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to understand. I get abuse is a thing. I totally understand that.
Well, I think it's the abuse. And then also she was in a very bad financials. I mean, when you are in that situation, you have no agency over yourself. Like, what would you do for health insurance? You don't have job experience. Yeah. You don't have, like, that's, they make it intentionally really hard to leave. So that doesn't bother
me as
much.
Yeah, that's good. So... that's a good point. I guess I'll give her 5 too. I will say this. I really like this author too. Her characters are for the most part great. I think that where she suffers is in the plot.
Yeah.
So coming up next, because the relationship plot is pretty good.
Yeah. Like, that's cute. That's a solid,
it was really cute.
Classic.
Right.
Very modern romance novel.
Yes. But
then Tim comes into the picture.
The Tim and Elaine. Like, I feel like this author is such a cinnamon roll. She can't write evil.
Yeah.
Like, she can't write evil. You're right. She needs to listen to some true crime podcasts.
Uh-huh.
She needs to, like, watch some Dateline and learn a little bit more about murder.
Yeah.
And then come back and write another one. Because the plot, I want to give it, like, a 2.5.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then it's like, whoa, no.
Hold up.
Hold up, girly friend, girly pop. Sex.
Good.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Because I liked it too, because it was two very vulnerable people having sex.
Yeah.
Who were very attracted to each other, but they were nervous.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, I don't want to mess this up. Or they were humans. They were very human. So, I 4 out of 5 because
hell yeah
we'll get into it in Under the Covers, your listener. And then book overall 5 out of 10. No, 6.
I was gonna say maybe a little higher than, because it was very cute. Yeah. I do really
it was
like
very
him.
Cute. It's just like it's not it's a really good beach read.
That's
I would
exactly
say
what I was thinking.
But I would also argue, and this is going to sound weird, it wasn't that interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't anything. No, it's not a thinker at all. In fact, it's a de-thinker, because I feel like I lost brain cells from Tim and Elaine.
Fucking Tim.
Fucking Tim. Fucking Elaine.
Jesus Christ.
Right. So,
Yeah. Pretty solid. That was very cute until it went off the rails a lot.
Yeah, until it turned into what happened.
Until it turned into like the most obvious episode of Dateline we've ever seen.
Yeah. Actually, not obvious. I don't think that would be obvious. Mm. I wouldn't expect that to happen.
No, like, I wouldn't expect that. Yeah,
she
you're
right. She walked into work and her coworker shot her for no reason. Like, that is that would have been the Dateline episode.
Yeah, and it's over. It was him.
And then it was him.
Yeah.
Wait. It's like a, oh no, that's terrible. If you haven't listened to, or if you haven't watched the SNL episode skit about Dateline, it's fucking awesome.
Oh man,
it's really great. But anyway,
hell yeah, that was
don't
good.
Shoot anyone at no. their workplace.
Don't and don't make anyone pop brownies without consent.
No
consensual pop brownies.
Yeah.
And consensual thanks to Aylin Ayew for the use of her song A Love off the album Be
we
Held.
Hope, yeah, we hope you accept this thanks.
Yes, consensually.
Consensually.
How was that for a segue? Well, thank you all so much for listening. That was fun. It was weird, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Well, we love you. Bye.